This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I woke up this morning, got myself a gun. Mama always said I'd be the chosen one.
Joining us now is Congressman Jamie Raskin of Maryland, the top Democrat on the House Judiciary Committee and a constitutional law professor. Let's begin with what seems like a pretty simple constitutional law question. How much control of elections does the Constitution grant to the President of the United States?
Zero. Judge Talwani said, the Constitution vests that power in the states, and then there's complementary or supplementary power in Congress to alter the time, place, and manner of elections under certain conditions. But neither the states nor the Congress gave any power to the president to do it. So the federal court has properly ruled this was nothing but an outrageous power grab by the president, and he's got to stay in his lane. His job is to take care that the laws are faithfully executed, not rewritten and thwarted.
Now, that is Maryland Democrat Congressman Jamie Raskin responding to a set question by pompous arse Lawrence O'Donnell of MSNBC, trying to point out that Trump is trying to rig the election. That's what they're trying to suggest, because he's pushing the Save America Act, requiring voters show ID, prove they are American, to be voting. No, the Constitution does not give the president controlling of the election, control of it. But it does give the governmental bodies, which include Congress. We're going to get into this in more detail a little bit later with my guest, Hans von Spakovsky. He is a constitutional lawyer, not a guest with pompous arse Lawrence O'Donnell. So you'll hear from him later on this very question, and others reference the U.S. Supreme Court rulings that took place yesterday. And today, Trump was delivering a speech to the Faith and Freedom Coalition. This is kind of the opening of the 250th anniversary celebration. And he's scheduled to return to the Washington Hilton, obviously, as he has with the first appearance since April 25, when a man with a shotgun attempted to breach security. And already looking at how the leftist media is reporting, I do the dirty work for you. You don't have to do it. I will do it, but I'll relay to you how they're treating it. They're saying as he's speaking, so many are getting bored and they're walking out of the Trump speech. They don't say how many. They just say many. And I haven't seen any video that would support what they're saying, but let it be. That's the story they're pushing, and they've got a lot of lap dogs out there lapping it up like dogs thirsty for any kind of water, putrid as it might be. Welcome to Larry. Oh, before I do that, I need to let you know about a ruling regarding the man who shot, accused of shooting Charlie Kirk. It's been decided the death penalty stays on the table. He wanted it taken off. The judge said no. The death penalty will still be a possible punishment for the accused killer of Charlie Kirk. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA. We're here with you every day, Monday through Friday, normally 6 to 8. Glad to be with you in the noon hour today. And, of course, this program will be replayed at 6 to 8 for those of you who normally listen at that time. Jamie taking some time. Also, no martinis served during this hour. Vodka and scotch and whiskey, things of that nature. Little hard cider, maybe, at the very least. Glad to have you on board. With Larry Connors USA, you're always going to get news, analysis, commentary, and education. You leave each hour with more information than you have when we began. I promise you that. Oh, and by the way, before we wrap up this hour, Joe Rogan had a gay comedian on, and this is the way the guy bills himself. I'm not using that phrase. He bills himself as a gay comedian. Joe Rogan had a gay comedian on, and he started talking about gay pride nonsense. Had Rogan laughing, and I think when you hear what he had to say, you would agree. Speaking about pride and push into our face all the time at every sporting event, if they can get away with it, and maybe some of your corporations, your banks, and else. The Iran Football Federation is demanding that FIFA prevent any ceremonies or promotional activities of LGBTQ lifestyles at the Pride March in Seattle today between Iran and Egypt. Both of those are Muslim nations, and both Iran and Egypt make it a criminal charge for homosexuality in their nations. In Iran, same-sex sexual activity carries a maximum penalty of death. In Egypt, punishment up to 3 years in prison, and possibly more. And yet, how many do we have out there in the streets yelling, pro-Hamas, kill the Jews, anti-Semitic, people who are pushing gay pride and are gay and lesbian? I don't care if that's their lifestyle. It's their lifestyle, not mine. I've shared with you, I have several gay friends, and to a one, they do not accept what's being constantly shoved in the faces, not just of the public, but in the faces of children. They want you to forget that part of it. Now, back to the ruling by the high court, basically, that says we have decided Trump does have the right to reject illegals at the border. They do not have to come into our country and have an amnesty hearing. He can reject them right there. And for Haitians and those from Syria who were brought in under the Biden administration, they can be deported. Steve Miller, White House counsel.
I think what you've seen under the leadership of Secretary Mullen is a tremendous focus on achieving results through incredibly efficient mechanisms. So, for example, one of the things that you've seen in the recent days that has been really extraordinary is President Trump signed the executive order to debank illegal aliens, which is an incredibly effective action to get illegal aliens out of the country. You've also seen continuing budgetary reforms at ICE to make sure the resources are being allocated as efficiently as possible towards actual enforcement and removal operations, right, stretching every dollar further. And you've seen with this new ICE legislation that's been passed, and as Tom Homan has said, he's been here many times, recently, I think in the last couple of days, that the new funding that's been passed through Congress by reconciliation will allow deportation numbers to continue to climb, as well as all the legal reforms that are being put into place. And with the recent Supreme Court ruling, of course, means that now millions of illegal immigrants from Haiti who were previously beyond the reach of the law are now within the reach of the law.
And what are we hearing from the left? Racism. Racism. You're trying to get rid of Haitians, people of color, black and brown. Anyone that Trump hates, which would be anyone who is not white as he is. It is the standard playbook for the Democrats and leftists. Oh, and Miller got asked a question. You got to love this.
Do you expect the administration to deport anyone who loses TPS status as a result of this ruling?
Well, of course, if you no longer have status in this country, then you're supposed to be deported. And in particular, in the case of the Haitians, the Biden administration flew over vast numbers. It's hard to know the exact number, but there are probably more than a million illegal immigrants from Haiti. That's not counting the border crossings into the United States. So these are people who've only been here for a few months, who are receiving welfare, whose all their ties, all their social connections, all their family is back in their home country of Haiti. And of course, that's where they should
be.
Now, keep in mind, Haiti has been known to be volatile. We do recognize that. It's controlled by gangs, and yes, it's a delicate, desperate place to live. But what the Biden administration did was just give them a temporary status. But then they overstayed, and they just stayed and stayed, and they decided, we can stay here because the high court said, no, that is not true. Specifically, the high court ruled that Haitian and Syrian nationals currently in the U.S. under TPS, temporary protected status, cannot receive judicial relief by staying here. They have to go. They have to be deported. And as you heard Stephen Miller say, yes, they will be deported. Well, of course, the left is crying out, you're going to send them to an unsafe place. Haiti is not safe, Miller's response.
Does the administration consider Haiti a safe country?
For Haitians? Absolutely. Yes. So for, yes, Haitians live in Haiti. It's not our position that Haitians should leave Haiti. I mean, it'd be crazy for us to say that Haitians couldn't live in Haiti. It's their country. Of course Haitians should live in Haiti. There's no viable asylum, or use a technical term here, CAT claim, or withholding claim, for any Haitian seeking relief from going back to Haiti, to their homeland. The fact that there might be pockets of Haiti where there's higher crime rates, guess what? There's pockets of Chicago with crime rates just as high, right? There's pockets of cities like St. Louis with crime just as high. Pockets of Los Angeles with crime just as high. It has never been the case that having communities that have high crime rates is a basis for asylum. Never has been, never will be.
Never will be. And the other thing we want to hear from the court is a ruling on born of soil. Those born in the USA and automatically granted citizenship. That's under challenge as well. Now, my guest coming up later, Hans Pontkowski, will break down some of this for us, reference yesterday's ruling, and also what is called the vampire law that was in Hawaii. What the heck was that? Well, it dealt with carrying concealed weapons into stores, business places, where there are signs posted that you can't do it, which would mean you'd have to take your pistol off if you stopped at a gas station to get out and pump gas for your car, or if you went in to buy a pack of gum. The court made a ruling on that as well. I will add this to you. Again, Department of Homeland Security lawyers are praising the SCOTUS immigration rulings. They're all saying these are victories for the rule of law, common sense. I have told you previously, watch what is happening in Europe. And yesterday I ran several bites of Nigel Farage, who is the UK reform leader, saying, I used to live in Brussels, and Jews will not live in Brussels anymore, because it's been taken over by Islamists, not just Muslims, Islamists. And he said, we're having the same thing in our nation. He said, I'm having some in London tell me they want to leave the country and leave the city because they fear for their lives, because they allowed mass immigration of Islamists. And again, why do they want that to happen? Well, that's because they want to win elections. And the way they do that is to cheat. And again, that's the whole purpose behind Trump's push for the SAVE Act. They would enforce voter ID. And what's the issue with that? There is no issue unless you create one. How many places are you having to show an ID now? Is that an issue? You might have to show it, obviously, to get on a plane, as you should. You might have to show it to prove that you're of age to buy liquor. I have to show my ID. I show my ID if I'm buying 5-hour energy. I said, are you kidding me? I say, well, my birthday is 1905. They put it in. The clerks are doing their job. They put it in and it says it won't compute. I said, no kidding. But the battle over the SAVE Act, Trump is standing firm. This is vital to our nation's future. And yet it's not done. Florida GOP Senator Scott.
We have the votes for voter ID. We have the votes for you have to be an American registered to vote. But it's going to take either getting rid of the filibuster or saying we're going to talk until we're done talking. The filibuster was to stop debate. You still didn't have to have 60 votes to pass a bill. So we have a choice: get rid of the filibuster because the Democrats are abusing it, or say to ourselves we're going to stay on the bill until the Democrats are tired of talking and we're going to pass it. That's how the Civil Rights Act was passed in the 1960s. So that's our choices. I mean, it's a simple set. Now we can break it down into smaller bites and try that. We can try to get something passed with reconciliation. Very difficult with the existing parliamentarian. So, but the American public wants this. The president wants this. So we've got to figure out how to get it done. We can't take no for an answer.
Cannot take no for an answer. That's why he had the closed door meeting with Senator Scott and other Republicans who were actually not helping get the SAVE Act pushed through the Senate. He called names and he called them out and he got them to bend. But as you hear Senator Scott say, we had the votes. Maria Bartiromo presses that point.
Well, why does John Thune keep saying he doesn't have the votes? You said you have the votes.
Well, right now there's not enough Republicans that want to get rid of the filibuster. I mean, I think we all have to decide, okay, so are we willing to, if we're not willing to get rid of the filibuster, then the next choice is enforce the filibuster. Make the Democrats talk until we're tired of talking, then we'll vote to end debate and we'll take a vote, and that only requires 50 votes, or 51 with J.D. And we have the votes to pass the original Save America Act that Mike Lee, original bill, so I think that's our choices. So I think we have to figure out how to get it done.
Absolutely. In the meantime, the left continues to buy into the lie that the SAVE Act is going to disenfranchise many Americans. And the perfect place where you can find that kind of nonsense, BS, The View with Whoopi Goldberg and others.
He torpedoed the bill because he wants another bill signed.
Yeah, right.
And it seems to me no one wants to sign this bill. It
doesn't have the votes.
It doesn't have the votes. And so he's trying to push it and do all kinds of stuff. It's ridiculous. It's the bill that would force people to have ID when they come to vote. Yeah. And nobody wants it.
It's called the Save America Act, yeah. Which is ironic because it's really saving his behind.
Yeah.
Save the Donald Trump behind Act.
Yeah. They do not know of what they speak. There's been some additional exchanges in the Iranian issue regarding a peace agreement in the Hormuz Passage. We'll touch on that before we wrap up this hour. Coming up next, Hans von Spakovsky, constitutional law expert. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gazoons height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gazoons height is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. Meguiar Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, Meguiar is a household name because Meguiar understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend Meguiar Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. MeguiarMoving.com. John Beall Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected.
That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime. Work out.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, my guest. We've had him on numerous times before, but it's been a while. Glad to have him back. Hans von Spakovsky. He is the Senior Legal Fellow at Advancing American Freedom. Hans, welcome back, sir.
Larry, thanks for having me back. Happy Friday and happy pre-July 4th weekend.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen to that. We've got a lot of subjects to run through. I want to begin with the SAVE Act very quickly. I want to pose something to you. Jamie Raskin was a guest on the Pompous Arse program hosted by Lawrence O'Donnell, and he was asking him, how much control of elections does the Constitution grant to the President of the United States? Obviously, looking for a way to torpedo the Save America Act. Raskin's response, zero. He said the Constitution vests that power in the states and complementary or supplementary power in Congress. Is he correct? And what was he trying to get through?
Well, he was trying to say that some of the executive orders the president has issued is wrong. But if you look at the executive orders carefully, for example, his last one, the president's executive order is directed at the U.S. Postal Service and how it handles election-related mail. And the president does have authority over the Postal Service. You know, his executive order wasn't telling the states what they have to do. It was telling federal agencies what they have to do. Another quick example is the president directed the Department of Homeland Security to get rid of the red tape and make its alien database available to state election officials so they can use it to check the citizenship status of people who are registered to vote. All of that is well within the authority of the president.
So everything the pompous arse Lawrence O'Donnell was presenting was a red herring and just trying to get people to follow this trail.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And anytime Jamie Raskin says anything, I've known him for many years. You can just pretty much discount anything that Raskin says.
I do. Hans, now getting into the actual couple rulings issued yesterday, one that migrants can be rejected at the border. They do not have to be allowed entry into our country to then go through adjudication. That was a very big win for Trump and our nation.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing that everybody forgets about this is this was actually started by the Obama administration, because in 2016, there were so many aliens trying to get across the southern border that customs agents were basically overwhelmed. And so they started a system in which they only would allow a certain number a day to cross over the border, get processed, and then if they wanted to claim asylum, they could do that. This case was brought by the aliens who were told, you have to stay in Mexico. And they sued claiming, hey, you can't keep us from crossing the border. And even if we're not in the United States, we can still claim asylum. And the Supreme Court, 6-3, said, no, that's not the case. The statute very specifically says you can only claim asylum once you have arrived into the United States.
Now, how does that differ from what we saw during the years of Cuba and the Clinton administration, wet foot, dry foot policy, reference of Cubans who were trying to get to the U.S.?
Well, it's exactly in line with that. Remember, that rule was that if you stepped ashore, in other words, if you cross the territorial borderline and you put a foot inside the U.S., then you could claim asylum in the U.S. But none of these aliens in this lawsuit, none of them stepped across the line.
But what if they had? What if they had said, watch this, watch it. I'm putting my hand over the border. I'm now inside the U.S.
Well, I don't think a hand would work, but I think if you step inside the line, well, then it works. But in these cases, those aliens never got across the border, and the Supreme Court has said, look, if president wants to block their entry, he can do it, and they can't claim asylum unless and until they make it actually into the U.S.
And, of course, what the Biden administration was also doing then was granting temporary status. You can come on and roam about America, do what you will, and right. Come back here in maybe 3 months, 3 years, 8 years, and we'll adjudicate if you have asylum.
Yeah, and the last time I looked at that number, something like 60% of aliens never showed up for their immigration hearing.
Surprised.
Why would they?
They're in
the country illegally.
Of course not. But we were expecting they would come back, right? Now, speaking about temporary asylum, temporary protected, that's the other case that came out of the Supreme Court,
right,
specifying that Haitian and Syrian nationals who have temporary protected status can no longer stay here. You've already extended and you cannot adjudicate it under temporary protected status.
Yeah, what happened was President Trump came in and he started ending temporary protected status for all these groups who'd been granted this in many years in the past. And all these courts stepped in and enjoined him and said, oh, you can't do that. Well, what the Supreme Court said yesterday, it was actually a very simple case. The statute that gives the president the ability to give temporary protected status specifically says there shall be no judicial review of the decision whether to either grant TPS or end it. And the Supreme Court simply enforced the statute and said all these courts who were issuing injunctions, they're barred from doing that.
You know, I had several pieces of an interview with the Reform UK leader, Nigel Farage, which we aired yesterday, and talking about how Europe, and I keep telling my audience, watch what happens in Europe, because they were basically saying, letting migrants come in, unvetted, unchecked, for years, Merkel in Germany and elsewhere. And he says, Brussels is no longer safe for Jews, and the UK is no longer safe because of Islamophobic issues taking over, as you'd say, Islam religious fanatics, jihadists, and he said many are wanting to leave the country. They fear staying here. That is what happened in Europe and UK and other countries, and yet we continue to ignore it in this country.
Well, yeah, and it's gotten so bad that, as you, I'm sure you saw, a democratic socialist,
yes,
who says that we deserve to be hit on 9/11, just won a Democratic primary in the state of New York.
Yeah. Crazies. Absolutely crazies. There's another ruling I want to get through to you. This is very important for Second Amendment rights. This deals with a case in Hawaii called the so-called vampire rule, citizens carrying concealed carry permits.
Yeah, look, that case was, Hawaii has always been very restrictive of gun rights. They never allowed concealed carry when the Supreme Court ruled you can't prohibit that. They finally put in a law allowing concealed carry. But it was in order to try to prevent as many folks from being able to use a concealed carry permit, they basically put in a rule that would have banned concealed carry permit holders from over 95% of the land in all of the islands of Hawaii. It was a virtual ban. And the Supreme Court came in and said, I'm sorry, but you can't do that. It's a violation of the Voting Rights Act. By the way, very embarrassing, trying to look at to find some kind of historical precedent for this, Hawaii tried to use an 1865 law passed in Louisiana that was part of the Black Codes, the laws that were passed to prevent who? Newly freed Black citizens from being able to arm themselves and defend themselves with the Ku Klux Klan. That's the law Hawaii was trying to rely on.
Yeah, Judge Alito pointed out that he said this regime is hobbling what the Second Amendment protects, the right of Americans to carry arms for self-defense as they go about their daily lives. We hold the law is unconstitutional.
That's right. And thank goodness, this may have been in Hawaii, but this case protects gun owners all over the country.
All right. Now, to that extent, let me take a moment to ask you, now you are with the Advancing American Freedom Group, and I know that you are the senior legal fellow, but exactly what is the Advancing American Freedom Group doing, and what are you doing on behalf of them?
It is a conservative think tank. It wants to have us be sure that we uphold the kind of conservative principles that Ronald Reagan pushed, you know, a strong defense, smaller government, less taxation. And it's a growing think tank, and it's those are the ideas that we're pushing. And by the way, that includes forceful enforcement of our immigration laws.
Outstanding. I'd love to have you back in the future, sir.
Anytime.
All right. As always, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You bet. Have a great July 4th weekend. Hans von Spakovsky, now the senior legal fellow at Advancing American Freedom. Coming up, there have been some developments with the so-called ceasefire and the Strait of Hormuz. Trump says Iran made a mistake here. We'll get into that. And also, Trump has some good news for American farmers. And yet we continue to hear cries from the left, oh my God, the world is crumbling and falling apart. Do not buy into that BS. I don't need to tell you what it stands for, do I? Of course not. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side. A St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold remediation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field.
Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
Chang, chang, chang. Chang, chang.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Yesterday, we also called on Congress to pass a supplemental funding bill that will provide $11 billion in relief towards specialty crops and helping our great agricultural producers rebound from the losses that they had due to the Biden administration's horrible, horrible rules and regulations. So we're going to be getting an $11 billion payment in relief to our farmers. And Brooke, you'll distribute that money, hopefully equitably. You'll do it equitably, and you'll do a great job with it.
That's outstanding. $11 billion for our U.S. farmers. That's a win for America. If you are a farmer, you know how tough that job is. There is nothing in the world tougher than being a farmer. For those of you who've never even stepped onto a farm field, let me tell you, you're always worried you have to be at the will and the whim of whatever comes from nature or God. No rain, too much rain, wrong time of rain, terrible winds, crops infested. It's a constant battle to be a farmer. It's not like walking into your office in the morning, maybe 5 minutes late, having your coffee, feet up on the desk, everything will come into place as we move through the day. Not for a farmer. And of course, if you're dealing with livestock, you've got additional issues. We are helping feed not only our nation with our farmers, but much of the world. I want you to keep that in mind. And what we have on the left, they're claiming that, oh, we need less beef and cattle and animals because they fart, flatulate. They emit methane gas. Let me tell you something. So do you if you do that. I'm just letting you know. So I guess you'd be next on the chain to be eliminated, right? Well, there's been some action in the Iranian Strait, which is not good. It's gotten Trump's attention, and already we're seeing numerous reports backing it up that the IRGC attacked a commercial vessel in the Strait of Hormuz, forcing the UN to pause plans to evacuate some of the sailors who've been stranded on these ships for a while because they were not allowed to move forward. With our naval blockade in place, we were going to let some go through, but only through our protection. But then you got insurance companies for these massive vessels, and they were telling them, we will not insure you. And then we had the peace deal as it exists, not just day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, but second by second. So the Iranian Revolutionary Guard hit a commercial vessel, and Trump's reaction was immediate. He said this attack in the Strait of Hormuz was a foolish violation of the ceasefire signed just last week, meant to ensure safe passage through the waterway, kick off negotiations over Iran's nuclear program for the next 60 days. Now, he did not, in his Truth Social, say, we are shutting down and ending negotiations with Iran. He did not do that. In the meantime, the Iranian deputy foreign minister issued a statement saying, Iran controls the strait, and we cannot guarantee safety for anyone trying to come through without consulting with Tehran. These are international waters. The U.S. did shoot down 3 out of 4 one-way attack drones launched by the Islamic Republic, but one hit a cargo-carrying ship. A British military spokesman said, we're going to begin to back off some of our tankers because we're not sure we can go through safely under these conditions. And again, a statement from Trump, safe passage through the Strait of Hormuz with ambiguous arrangements, parallel routes, or decision-making outside of Iran's considerations as the coastal state cannot be guaranteed. I take that back. That was the Iranian foreign minister on his Truth Social. Claiming again that any credible framework has to be coordinated with Iran. The world does not come to bend a knee to Iran. And if they had their way, you would not be bending a knee, you would be vaporized. Keep that in mind. And where are the leftists praising Trump for helping, quote, people of color in Venezuela, rocked by two major earthquakes, the worst they've had in 100 years, around Caracas, both of them above 7+ on the scale. Hundreds now reported dead, 500 or more, and they know there are going to be more because they're trying to get them out of the rubble. The U.S. is sending in military assistance and everything we can to help. No, we're not going to be giving money to NGOs who say, we will go in and feed them and take care of them. We're not going to go down that route again. Any money handed out will be accounted for. And it will go to the people in need, not whoever might be leading Venezuela or some sector of the neighborhood. During the Biden administration and the Obama administration, there was just we can buy everything off of money. And in fact, they did. And I guess probably the expert on how to do that would have been Hunter Biden when you're coming down to it. In the meantime, there's word coming out, and I'm looking at The Hill as reporting this. The Hill is a leftist standing publication, pointing out that Putin's regime, we're talking about Russia, might not survive the impending fall of Crimea. Russia as a whole and Russian-occupied Crimea, that Putin could lose control of it. And they're saying the leadership in Crimea realize what Putin will not, cannot admit. The Kremlin is incapable of defeating Ukraine on a conventional military basis. The scary part about that is that they may then decide we'll raise the stakes and the weaponry. A gay comedian has been pushing back against LGBTQ plus pride, and he calls himself, he bills himself as a gay comedian. I'm not giving him that label. That's what he likes to go by. And he was attacking gays and how they're trying to shove Pride Month into the face of everyone, and he was doing it on the Joe Rogan Show.
A lot of these kids do not think for themselves. And they're not kids. They're in their 30s, by the way. And they're in their 30s or 40s. They don't think for themselves. They've been taught that thinking for themselves is bad. It's racist. Or it can lead you down a road that you don't want to go on. It's, you know, whatever. It's misogynist. It's homophobic. Like, whatever questions you're asking, like, why do the Padres have to wear gay uniforms? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, as a gay person, I never said why I need the Padres to be gay. Why are the Padres gay?
What does the Padres uniform look like?
They're making them wear, like, gay things on the uniform.
Like pride stuff?
It's like pride stuff. I don't think it's like a dildo on their head, but I think it's like pride stuff.
What happens when they play in Dearborn?
It's not gonna go well. But it's like, why is Citibank gay? Why is Chase gay? What is it? Why does this help anyone? That a corporation is trans. Why is Chobani Yogurt trans? What's the point of this? I don't understand. Does this get people healthcare? Does this make people happy? Does this satisfy?
It makes some people happy.
It makes some people happy that I worry about because I just don't understand. And it makes more people angry. And that's why gay marriage has lost 11 points in support. More people are annoyed. They're like, we're all cool with however people want to live their lives. Most people are. But they're like, why is my bank gay?
That's exactly many statements being multiplied over and over by his comments to Joe Rogan. Rogan said, well, having Gay Pride Month makes people happy. But again, Tim Dillon, openly gay comedian, said, it makes more people angry than happy. That's why gay marriage has lost 11 points in support. It's annoying. And his final remark, why is my bank gay? Dillon exclaimed later, he said, I just want to know when my bank came out as gay. I'm fine with it, but I just wish someone would have told me it doesn't make anyone's life better. Are gay people going to get any better loans? I doubt it. I added that, not him. But he did say this, it's just virtue signaling garbage that ends up making people hate that community. Not going to gain support by shoving a worldwide view down everyone's throat. What we've said repeatedly, you want to be gay, you're an adult, that's your choice. As long as you're not preying upon children, it's your lifestyle, not mine, so be it. It's your lifestyle. You do what you want. Again, you be you as long as you're not preying upon children. But quit shoving it in my face. I mentioned earlier, I want to go back to this. This is a key point here. Because so many on the left that all are out there supporting Palestine free forever, kill the Jews, they are leftists who support Pride Month, waving rainbow flags. You do not see them doing that inside Iran or any Muslim nation, do you? And you know why? Because one, it could get you killed. And two, like in Egypt, if you're a homosexual man and they can find out, you could be sentenced to at least 3 years in prison. And yet they want to continue to shove it in your face. I told you earlier how the Iran Football Federation is demanding we don't want any LGBTQ lifestyles as we're playing our matches. And of course, the match today between Iran and Egypt. Saying, we believe FIFA should take into account the views and concerns of the participating teams. FIFA added, yeah, we don't want to see anything like that either, but we want to be inclusive. There you go again. Throw that in the trash. More nonsense from the left. Oh, I got another one for you. Gavin Newsom is calling for a national tax hike on the ultra wealthy. Oh, yes, yeah. Gavin Newsom, who hopes to one day be in the Oval Office behind the Resolute desk as president. God help us. Anyway, Gavin Newsom is saying we need a national tax hike on the ultra wealthy. It's an economic reset in America. He wrote that in an op-ed on his Substack. And yet, what's going on in California? They're pushing a wealth tax proposal inside California, which would target, obviously, Newsom. I have no problem with being wealthy as you can be. That's why we have this country. Whatever you can earn and you can get lawfully, so be it. Whatever someone's willing to pay you to kick a ball or catch a ball, so be it. Whatever you invent that you can make money on, so be it. But the others, and this includes some of the elite rich themselves, they don't want you to have that richness or that opportunity. And they will deny every step they can. So here's Gavin Newsom speaking with forked tongue. I'm against imposing wealth taxes on the wealthy in California. I am for a wealth tax on the wealthy across the nation. Please do not ask me to explain. There's common sense there because I can't. It does not exist. As always, thanks to listening for listening to Larry Connors USA. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.